Thank you. All right, this is a special meeting of the National Finance Committee. I hope I'm not misspeaking and calling it special, but we scheduled it a week ago to discuss one single issue, the central services formula. And we're convening the meeting now. I believe we have a quorum. Mr. Secretary, could you call the roll?
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams.
Here.
Teresa J. Allen. Nick Arena. Fred Blair.
Present.
Chris Corey.
Here.
Dwayne Lark.
Present.
R. Paul Martin here. James Sagerton.
Here.
Anita Sims.
Here.
Nancy Sorden. Alina Vasilyev.
Present.
Okay, I have eight, and that is a quorum.
Very good. Thank you, R. Paul. For the record, I think I should let everyone know that I spoke to Nick Arena. He will be arriving at about 9:15 or 9:30. So we'll see him then. All right. As I was saying, this is a special meeting of the Finance Committee for the purpose of discussing the central services formula. And as I was saying before we came online, my computer is not working, so I do not have an agenda in front of me, which is normally the script. But we only have that one item to discuss. I'm trying to remember what are the things in order on the agenda normally. Convene the meeting, then I guess we have to approve the agenda. The agenda is take the roll. We already did that, and then we would
minutes.
Approve the agenda. Oh, yes. Minutes. R. Paul, are there any minutes?
No, there are no minutes for this thing. This is a special meeting. I'm not going to do minutes for this.
Okay.
Okay. Roll call and then consideration of a central services formula would probably be the next item.
Thank you, R. Paul. That's correct.
And then adjourn no later than. And, you know, we said this would be a one-hour meeting, so maybe 9:30.
You know, we did say that, but I want to ask if there's any discussion on that. We want to leave it a little bit more open in case we don't achieve our goal so that we can continue to discuss. Is there any discussion on that thought?
Yeah, R. Paul.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, we've been discussing this for a very long time. I'm not sure, but we may have been discussing this for pretty close to a year, and we keep talking about it, and I think we've talked this thing a lot. We've talked about it a lot, so I don't think we should really be taking a ton of time on this. We've done it. We should just put it up for motion and see how it goes. Of course, we're going to discuss it a bit, but the thing is, I think people have ideas of what they want the motion to be, and we should just have those motions hit the floor, motion or motions plural, hit the floor, discuss them a bit, and vote, and that'll be it.
Okay, based on my discussions, I'm just going to respond quickly.
Here.
I'm sorry, who's that?
Nancy's here.
Oh, hi, Nancy. Were you requesting the stat?
I'm here. Can I make a recommendation also?
Yes, please.
9:45.
Okay, is there anybody else?
Dwayne's in the stack.
Go ahead, Dwayne.
What is the original proposed time or what did we agree to as referred to in July?
I'm sorry, referred to in when?
The time of the adjournment of our meetings that was referred to a agreement we made in July.
Oh, I thought I heard you say July. You may be referring to the 10:15 time certain, but I believe as a special meeting, perhaps this is a different, could have a different ending. Anyone else?
The motion for this meeting is that the NFC dedicate to the single purpose of finding essential services formula a meeting on July 19th, 2021 at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And it doesn't say when we'd adjourn, but we're talking about an hour or so. But there's that.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Lane.
There are points. If members have, what I understood is that there are two options. With all this discussions we've had and certainly discussions prior to this year on this matter, it's not a new matter. It's something that the Foundation's been dealing with continuously. There are two options, as I understand it. And I believe that if you haven't made up your mind on those two options, you're probably not going to make up your mind. So I certainly would not like to use any more time than necessary, which should be to formulate a motion one way or the other and vote on it, and so we can introduce it to the PNB.
Okay. I think it might be a little more complicated than that, but I do understand that's where our past discussions were. So any other discussion on this question? Hearing none, there was a motion to end the meeting at 9:45. Is there a second?
Wait a minute. Okay, so we're doing the agenda here, and so it would be adjourned no later than 9:45. Is that what we're coming to?
Mr. Chair, if we don't need 9:45, why should we make it?
For just a moment, could you suspend for a moment, Dwayne? I just want everybody to know that the chair of the board has come on to the meeting. Alex Steinberg is with us. He's on my phone. Alex, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, very good. I'm sorry, Dwayne. Go ahead.
If we don't need 45 minutes to 9:45, why don't we don't make it a certain time? And those who want to discuss ad nauseum, they can ask for the floor and they can extend on this matter. How much time had you intended on to allot to formulate the motion?
Well, I think the whole meeting is probably going to be devoted to that. So I'm willing to leave it open. I just don't want to have it at the end of the meeting. If we do need a little more time, I don't necessarily want to have to get a 2/3 vote. So that's why I was suggesting leaving it open or make it slightly longer. So actually, R. Paul read the original motion, and it was open-ended. So I'm happy to, you know, suggest that or to make a motion to amend Nancy's original motion to leave it open-ended as a substitute.
I can second that.
Okay. Is there any discussion on that?
Okay, so what is – all right, so you're now going to have it adjourned no later than 9:45. Is that it?
No, well, that was Nancy's motion, but I was amending that to leave the end open-ended like it was in the motion that we passed that you read.
So you would be making a motion to strike adjourn no later than 9:45.
Correct. Thank you for that.
Alan is on the call, and no objection.
Hi, Teresa. Thank you.
I would object to an open-ended meeting. So.
Okay.
Well,
so we have an objection. Dwayne, did I hear you?
I would object. Yes, sir. Right, and rethinking this, I think we shouldn't spend more than an hour on this matter. So I would want to support Nancy's original motion.
Very good. So. If there's no more discussion on the amendment, why don't we go to a vote? Unless there is, did I hear someone?
If we finish at 9:30, we can adjourn at 9:30. If we finish at 9:45, we can adjourn at 9:45. But if we need more time, leave it at open ended.
Okay. Anybody else?
Fred.
All right, why don't we go to the, go ahead, Fred.
I'm in favor of leaving it open-ended, and we really need to get this done tonight.
Thank you, Fred. Anyone else?
This is Paulina.
Go ahead, Paulina.
My understanding is that leaving it open-ended is not to necessarily prolong the discussion on central services, but rather to leave it open for other items. Is that correct, or am I wrong?
No, this meeting is dedicated only to the central services. It's just so that we don't need a two-thirds vote when we get toward the end. We could try to, with a smaller vote, we could continue until hopefully we reach a conclusion.
Okay, I see. All right, well, then I'll refrain from opining at this point. Thank you.
Thank you, Paulina. Anyone else? Okay, why don't we go to a vote on the substitute motion to, and I assume we're, okay, let's go to the substitute motion. We'll assume that the original motion belongs to the body.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, can you take the vote? Thank you. I mean, Mr. Secretary.
Okay, so we're going to a vote on striking adjourn no later than 9:45 p.m. Eastern. Please answer up when you hear your name, Sharon Adams.
Wait, hold on. I thought we were voting on Nancy's amendment, which was to amend at 9:45.
No, as I understand it, the thing that's on right now is to not have it be 9:45.
Yes, the original motion, if I may, the original motion was to, from Nancy, to adjourn at 9:45. I offered a substitute motion to leave it open-ended. So we're voting on the substitute to leave it open-ended now.
No.
Teresa J. Allen, Nick Arena, Fred Blair.
Teresa's going to abstain.
Teresa Allen abstain. Nick Arena, Fred Blair.
In favor. Yes.
Chris Corey.
Yeah.
Dwayne Lark.
No.
R. Paul Martin, no. James Sagerton.
Yes.
Anita Sims.
Yes.
Nancy Sorden.
Yes.
Paulina Vasiliev.
Definitely yes. It's my last one. I wanted to laugh forever and ever.
Okay, so it's 6-4-3 against, one abstention.
Very good. Okay. I'm lost without a roadmap. So there were no minutes, and of course no minutes for a special meeting. So now we can open the discussion. And I would like to ask Anita Sims if she would like to say anything.
I think I'll reserve. I'm really interested in hearing the discussion, quite frankly.
Very good.
I did read the document that Director Chris provided for us. Very straightforward. Thank you.
Thank you. Chris, would you like to give us a review of your documents?
Sure. This is, as R. Paul stated earlier, a continuation of a discussion which I believe is 11 months in the offing at this juncture. We've discussed this many times before. There's been several different scenarios that have been presented, but mostly it's narrowed down to whether we use a membership basis or a revenue basis for this. For determining central services formula. And when the last time we took a little straw poll on that, I believe there was unanimous opinion that we should use a revenue basis for this. Then it came down to what revenue basis to use. And it's been pointed out to me by a few people in the organization that if we use listener revenue as a basis for this, that it's possible for stations to move some of their revenue off into categories that aren't labeled listener revenue. And because there are a lot of different revenue categories, and it might be easier and more transparent just to say, okay, well, no hiding. So, it's just a revenue basis, and to exclude the portion of revenue that has already been excluded by the PNB, namely the windfall income provision, which was over 50,000. So, I sent out a spreadsheet and an attached motion advocate use revenue less the extraordinary income, the windfall profit, whatever you want to call that portion above of any contribution that is at or above $50,000, and use that as a basis for both the national revenue for all five stations and for each individual station. If you'd like, I can read the motion, but I think I'm not sure whether it's appropriate to do so now or at the end of the discussion.
I would suggest we do it right at the top so we can actually talk about one thing. And are you saying that you sent this out already? Is this included in your revised central services formula doc thing?
It isn't. It was sent as a separate document to the IO address tonight. Okay. I sent it a half an hour ago. And I did personally receive it. The rest of you who are attached to that address should have as well. If there's anybody who did not receive it, if you could let me know, I'll forward it to you now.
Anybody who needs a copy?
I don't. I see the spreadsheet and the text document about it.
That's
what I see also. This is Sharon. I don't see the other one either. Chris, if you could send it with a new title maybe, because sometimes I think when Gmail like mushes them together, it's hard to pull them out.
Okay, but that's it. There are only two documents. There's the text for the spreadsheet, and there's the spreadsheet, and they have virtually the same title.
Fred got it also earlier.
This is Sharon. But that's not a motion, Chris. I think our call is asking if you have a motion.
It is a motion.
This entire thing?
That's what I don't see.
I can read it. Why don't you read it, and we'll see if we find it somewhere in this text.
I'm going to ask everybody to ask to speak. We're getting a little bit out of control here, and it's my fault. I just heard Dwayne ask for the stack. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Once we find out what Chris has sent and it's on the table, I would like for the chair to advise me when it is proper to offer a substitute motion.
Very good. And I have to apologize again. My computer is not working, so I won't know when it hits my email. So if others could advise, I would appreciate that.
Okay, can I read the motion? Or what I think you should
for the stream. Oh, and by the way, Fred, we are on the stream, you said, right?
Correct.
Very good, thank you. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay, so this is revised central services formula proposal. The central services, and this is just the libretto for it, okay? Or whatever you want to call it. The what is it called, the text that's above the motion itself? I couldn't remember.
Preamble.
There's a name for it. Preamble. This is the preamble. The central service formula has not been revised for many years and is now completely inconsistent with underlying revenues of the individual stations, which have drifted considerably since that time. To bring the central services formula up to date and to keep it current with circumstances going forward, the NSC moves that the following guidance be adopted. Revenue basis. Revenue basis for central services shall be the total revenue received through grants and donations made payable to each of the five member stations, less any, quote, windfall profit, unquote, as previously defined by the PNB, any amount $50,000 or over. This will be on a calendar year basis for the period ending September 30th, with the central service formula adjusting annually on December 31st. For the initial period ending 9/30/20, the station revenue total is $9.7735 million. Station basis. The percentage of the monthly bill for central services will be determined by dividing the annual revenue of the station, less any windfall profit, by the revenue basis described above. For the initial period ending 9/30/20, the percentages for the individual stations are as follows. KPFA, 36.2%. KPFK, 28.5%. KPFT, 7.2%. WBAI, 13.7%. And WPFW, 14.3%. PNO budget, central services budget. The central services budget should be sufficiently large to A, permit the general operations of the organization, which are kept, which are key to proper functioning and are required for all units of the organization, and B, permit for extraordinary expenses to the organization, such as lawsuits, settlement, and sudden downturns in individual units of the organization, or in the absence of such, C, in the absence of such incidents, debt repayment. In order for this to occur, central services must target approximately $300,000 per year in excess funding to the national office to provide for these purposes as outlined in B and C. I'll actually come back to that item a little bit later to discuss it. The suggested budget for central services offered at this time is $120,000 per month. Motivation. In deciding between using membership or revenue as a basis for determining station share of central services due, the NFC decided in near unanimity to use revenues as a basis. Originally, Director Corey proposed that all revenue be included as a basis for this determination. However, several directors pushed back for two reasons. The first is that windfall income and historical practice. The historical practice for the central services formula was to use listener revenue. However, it was later pointed out by several LSB members that this practice leads to stations who were under stress arbitrarily recategorizing revenue as non-listener to reduce their central services payment owing. The windfall income exception makes sense for two reasons. First of all, windfall income is by definition something that stations cannot rely on or budget for. Second, there is already a rule governing such revenue from the PNB. Therefore, the suggested formula backs out the windfall revenue from the station total and from each station's individual revenue. Net impact. The net impact of this change in formula is to reduce the monthly payments for the central services at three of the stations that are most under duress, KPFK, WBAI, and KPFT, and to increase them at two stations which are in healthiest condition, WPFW and KPFA. The exact monthly amount can be obtained by dividing the station basis by the revenue basis. That gives you the percentage of the revenue that is allocated to each station, and multiplying that by 120,000, which is the amount of the budget for the national office. Timing. This formula will become effective the month following passage by the PNB and continue forward with annual revisions until such a time as it is superseded.
Mr. Chair, could I suggest that there's like a lot of stuff in here that, all right, it starts off the central services formula, and you can put a whereas in there because, you know, preambles are like that. However, then it goes down, and it goes down, and then it gets to right above motivation where it says the suggested budget for this is $120,000 a month. I think that going up to the top is the motion. The motivation part and other things can't be in there except maybe the timing could be tacked on at the end. All that other stuff is argument and motivation and does not belong in a motion per se.
I agree with that. This was
Chris,
intended to be my input for the discussion. Sorry about that.
Well, we need a motion that's an emotion, not, you know, because otherwise, believe me, it is very possible to run back and forth very badly if you have something that's not a real motion. And so I'm going to paste this in here, and I will read it. Well, maybe not read it. I'm going to just say, one second while I get it pasted from one application to another. It should start out, I think.
With the revenue basis thing?
It should start out, you know, it's whereas the central services formula has not been revised. Okay, can we do that?
Okay. Yep, got it.
And, you know, I mean, we can always debate that. We can cut it out or whatever. And then it goes on and on and on until it says, central services offered at this time is $120,000 a month. Then cut out from motivation down except for the very last paragraph, which says, this formula will become effective in the month following passage by the PNB and continue forward with annual revisions until such time as it is superseded. All right? So
I got it.
Sound good?
Yeah, I got it. And I've done those revisions. Thank you, R. Paul. I appreciate it.
Okay, so that's the motion on the floor. Thank you.
Okay. So we have a motion on the floor. Is there any discussion?
This is Sharon.
Go ahead, Sharon.
I don't have a question about your narrative or what you just wrote there, Chris, but you could explain the Excel sheet, because that I'm not following what's going on that one, or I'm not sure if they're related to your motion.
Yeah, it's absolutely related. Mr. Chair, may I have the floor?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. So this spreadsheet has built over time. I've tried to delete the stuff that we absolutely weren't interested in doing, but I did leave in the membership option because it was the last one that we abandoned. So if you look at the spreadsheet, it has all the stations, of course. B through F are the stations. Column A is the scenario, basically, that's under consideration. So we've gone through all of these things. If you go minutes of the meetings, you'll find discussions on every single one of these things. The one that's a bit confusing is probably row 8, which is the historical weighting. And that historical weighting is a percentage of overall central services, but overall revenue per station. That's why it's so far out of line with the other. I'm not doing it that way because it made it more confusing, at least to me, in how much was actually owed on a per station basis per month. So I put it in there just so people had a reference of what we did 5 years ago or whatever it was the last time this was revised. But the real meat and potatoes of the discussion kind of starts at row 9. So we eliminated a 3-year listener basis. We eliminated a 6-month listener basis, which is shown as row 7. And we ended up with a 1-year listener basis. So row 9 is 1-year listener basis. And that's just purely listener revenue. And then the row 10 is 1-year listener basis minus major donor funding. I tried that one out too to see how that would look. And row 11 is the one that's in the proposal, actually. That's 1-year revenues less, what was it, extraordinary items. So it's actually row 11 that I'm going off of in this spreadsheet. And then going down below, the current formula is shown as row 16. I can write all this out, too. I will write all this out later in a form so that you guys can read this thing without me being here. Row 16 is the current formula. So that's what the current stations are paying per month, what they have owing per month. And then the two options that were that I looked at in this last week were row 19 and row 20. Row 19 is 1 year less listener revenues, and then row 20 is 1 year total revenues less extraordinary income. And then the change is the change per month per station from the current, which is line 16. So it's basic subtracting line 16 from line 20. And you can follow the math because I didn't make it a spreadsheet. You can just hover over the cell and it'll show you what the math is. So as you can see, KPFK, KPFT, and WBAI all have reduced monthly central services expenses, and KPFA and WPFW have increased expenses. And that's solely due to migration and revenue over that five-year period.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Wait, hello? It's Nancy here. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Nancy.
So it looks like KPFT is now, for the proposal, is $8,699.03, and it was $11,884. Is that right?
Correct. Correct on both counts.
So that theirs is actually reduced, not increased.
Correct. Correct. Okay. KPFT, KPFK, and WBAI are all three reduced.
Okay.
In this proposal.
KPFK. Okay. 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 I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
This is Paulina for the staff.
Go ahead, Paulina.
So this formula is supposed to be calculated on a monthly basis, correct?
Well, it's calculated on an annual basis, but the amounts due are on a monthly basis.
So, but it will change on a monthly basis based on, that's what I'm trying to understand, because we don't have necessarily monthly P&Ls from, well, we're trying to, so is it going to be based, is it going to be based on, right now, obviously, it's calculated on the previous year, but is it going to be changing month to month depending on what the revenue numbers are for each station?
Jeremy, may I respond?
Go ahead, yes.
No, the adjustments won't be made monthly. They'll be made annually. And once again, this was a decision by the board earlier. We have the option of, we never really considered doing it monthly. We did consider doing it every 6 months, but the amount of calculation necessary to, it becomes a moving target. And also, you're right, it takes sometimes 45 days to get the monthly books in, although I think that Anita has it down to, it's about 15 days from the end of the month now. So theoretically, we'd be able to do it monthly, but no, it was, the proposal is to do it, adjust it once a year.
Dwayne Larkin.
Understood. Thank you.
Are you done, Paulina?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead, Dwayne.
This is Alex. Put me on the stack, please.
Okay.
Add Fred too.
Dwayne. Okay, Fred.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I send a substitute motion to the body, and I'd like to read the motion.
Go ahead.
Just a moment. I move that the central services formula be based on, I move that the central services formula be based on 12% total revenue of station calculated quarterly. All revenue is to be included in the calculation. May I motivate?
Go ahead.
To simplify things, to make them as clear and concise and fair, if there is such a term or a policy that you can create based on revenue. The idea that each unit is paying to support the national office, which is doing the business of the foundation, which without the foundation, there would be no unit. So it's a matter of, in business terms, you would say, paying a premium or paying a fee, if you were to use that term. But these other suggestions that's being made can become convoluted. I believe that a yearly calculation doesn't necessarily reflect the changes that are made within a 12-month calendar with respect to revenue. And it would seem to me, for clarity, for simplicity, that a 12% number that everyone would know how to calculate 12%, there would be no exclusion. Because when you start excluding this, you may start excluding that. If you start excluding that, you may start excluding this. But this is a foundation. I always underline this question in this finance committee. This is a foundation. The first purpose, the first objective, the first mission is to sustain the foundation. So no units exist without the foundation. Looking at the 1.2 or whatever the calculations in the original motion, I believe this 12% will get us there, or maybe even a little more. And as the numbers change, if you're stuck on a 12-month period and you have COVID like we do now, and revenues have been decreased by 30% or 40%, all you're doing is creating deficits for stations. But if you do it on a quarterly basis, as has been said, that NEPA is now at a 15-day window. They may even get to a 10-day window, a 9-day window. But I submit respectfully that this is the way to move forward. This is the way to move forward. Thank you.
Are you done, Dwayne?
Sure, I have the motion, the amendment down here. What I have is that the central services formula be based on 12% total revenue of stations calculated quarterly. All revenue to be included in the calculations. Is that it?
That's it.
Thank you.
Okay, I had Alex and then Fred on the stack.
Chris Corey.
Gotcha, Chris.
Okay, I do not have any of these spreadsheets, so I can't speak about any of the details in the spreadsheet. But I want to make what I think is a methodological observation on how I think the central service formula should be done. And it depends on the kind of business you have. Let me illustrate. If you're in the hotel business, and you have a hotel in Boston and another in Chicago and another in Dallas, say, and the one in Dallas is running a deficit, the ones in Chicago and Boston are doing fine, it doesn't make much sense to, in that kind of a business, to assist the hotel in Dallas. A standard business reaction there would be, well, let's shut it down or sell it or do something or cut costs, something. You have to do something to make that hotel sustainable or get rid of it. So that's based on their revenue and so on. Now, if you're running a nonprofit business that has a mission, and that mission includes having a presence in the major media markets of the country, you have to think a little differently. If one of your stations in Washington or New York or Houston is in trouble and the other stations can help carry it, you do what you can to do that. And So I think we have that second kind of business model. We don't have the first. We don't just, and if that is our business model, then I don't think you can base the central service formula just on revenue. You also have to take into account expenses. Different stations have different expenses. And I'm not talking about discretionary expenses. Some stations may have a dozen paid programmers. If they can afford to sustain them, wonderful. Other stations may choose to have three paid programmers. These are discretionary expenses. But there are other kinds of expenses that are not discretionary. We're talking about fixed costs. And fixed costs particularly affect the New York and the Washington stations. They both have high fixed costs for studio rent, fixed costs for tower rent, and so on. The fixed costs at the other stations are relatively insignificant compared to the fixed costs at those two stations. So I think if you're going to adopt the model of a nonprofit business with a mission, then you have to take into account not only the revenue these stations generate, but the fixed costs. And I'm not going to try to tell you what that formula should be, but it should take into account both the revenue and the fixed costs. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense to me if you're just looking at revenue. That's my statement. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. And I have Fred.
Thank you, James. I was looking over Chris's description, narrative of his formula. Unfortunately, I only got it in the last hour or so, or hour and a half, and I haven't really had a chance to digest it completely, but I think I agree with it. It's a little deceptive to in that those percentages that you list for the stations lead make it look like stations are not being treated equal, where in actuality they actually are. The station basis and the revenue base, the revenue basis is the total of all the station bases for the network, for the five stations. So, that fraction is 100% for the total network, and therefore the central services payment for the national office will be $120,000 a month. But the actual percentage for the network of the national office expenses versus total revenue versus the total revenue is about, I calculate, about 14%, and each station is paying essentially 14% of its income or revenue to the national office. The major problem is, of course, is that we have two stations who have incomes that are so low that they're not paying essentially any central services at all, or they can't pay any central services at all, and that's what's driving us crazy. And that's what it's causing all the problems at this point for the network. I've been getting pressure from my own station that they've been complaining that for the last 5 years, central services, that KPFK has been paying more central services than any of their stations. But in the last year, of course, K hasn't been paying hardly any central services. I don't know where I'm going with this. I just wanted to raise these issues and to the board and get and let people know. Chris's formula looks fine to me. Thank you.
Thank you, Fred. Now we have Chris.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Regarding the fixed costs argument, I think that if we head down this road, I think we're in big trouble, because what this basically means is that, let's back up one step further than the fixed cost issue and just look at the performance of the individual stations at this juncture. We have one station that is losing between right around, let's just say 5% of revenue. That would be WPFW on an ongoing basis. We have another station that's approximately break even. That's KPFA. At least on paper, those are the only two stations that can afford central services at all, any central services. So it doesn't really matter whether we cut the other three stations to zero or not. If only two stations can afford central services, then we're reducing central services by 60%, which means that the national office has an annual deficit of $1 million. How does that make any sense? I mean, the central, the national office is an expense to the entire network that is utilized by each individual station equally. It has to do with utilization for me, not cost, and we're all utilizing it equally. In fact, it's arguable that in the case of KPFA, they're not using the national office as much because they have their own independent accounting through a business manager, and they pay a certain amount of their own insurance. So I think this argument devolves into sort of an unfair treatment of units that actually have the means to pay central services versus those that really don't. Here's my counter argument to this and what I would suggest for the board. The fortunes of individual stations vary. If WPFW were to obtain a bequest of $500,000 tomorrow, they would be swimming in cash. They would have no trouble paying central services. If they hit upon, maybe they get an award-winning DJ in there that is just raking in the dollars during fund drives. That changes the fortune of the station and enables it to pay going forward. And then, you know, as time goes on, they will gradually have a larger and larger share of the central services cost. So I think that we're going down a dangerous path with the fixed cost thing. I don't necessarily agree that I'm looking at it strictly from a business standpoint here. I'm just trying to do it as fairly as possible based on utilization for each individual station. Now, as to stations running deficits, you know, yeah, that's going to happen from time to time. And if I don't think anybody's going to go in there, you know, with Big Louie and his, you know, and his what are those things called that you put over your knuckles? Anyway, to take your brass knuckles. Thank you. With the brass knuckles to come in and take your money away if you can't make your central services. You know, we're going
Never
to
goons.
Figure out goons. Bring in the goons. So I think that, you know, what we have to be understanding as an organization when stations are in that situation, but at the same time, stations should be working to work their way out of that situation. And if they can't work out of that situation and they're in a permanent subsidy, I think that we should all be honest about that and upfront, instead of just saying, oh, you know, we're just not going to pay our central services here. They should say, okay, we want to be subsidized by options, and we should have a vote on that. And all the other stations should vote if they want to subsidize these stations that have high overhead. But the way we're doing it now, I think, is somewhat dishonest. As far as the 12% goes, I don't think it actually covers the cost, because at least if we want any reserves, 15% would be closer. And so, you know, I would offer that as an amendment to that motion if we're going to actually consider it. And
I have to put myself on the stack.
Okay.
Paulina for the stack as well, please.
I had a little note here about not being able to pay central services, but I think I already addressed that. So thank you.
What question? Has an actual amendment to the amendment been made, or are you thinking about it?
Not yet. He's thinking about it. Okay.
Well, I think that was a separate motion, by the way. I think Dwayne offered a substitute motion, so I'm actually offered for the substitute motion. And yes, I needed to figure out the exact percentage. I'm working on it right now.
A substitute motion is a form of amendment. So right now we have a main motion and an amendment, and the amendment would, in effect, be a substitute motion. So that's what we have, but there's no amendment to the amendment. Thank you.
This is Sharon for the stack also, please.
Gotcha, Sharon. Okay, anybody else for the stack?
Did you get me, Paulina, before that?
I did get you, Paulina. I'm on the stack first, and then I'll go to you, and then Sharon. If there's anybody else, we'll be here for a little while, so no rush. So, I'm going to speak now. I want to say that this discussion about fairness and a flat rate reminds me of the discussion, and I have to give credit to Nick Arena for this, reminds me of a discussion of taxes, you know, federal taxes. And there are some, I think it was Steve Forbes who came forward famously with a flat tax proposal. And he said it was fair, it was more fair. And what we actually operate on and still operate on is an income tax that's based on how much money you have. And it also includes certain deductions for expenses that you have. And while that's a very rough analogy to what we're talking about here, I tend to agree more with what Alex said, which is that we're not talking here about fairness in terms of, oh, we'll all pay the same percentage. And I think it's just, it's unrealistic, and it's not necessarily characteristic of the nonprofit sector to say that we're going to treat everyone with fairness and we're not going to take into consideration higher expenses in certain areas, and that we're somehow that's achieving some ultimate goal of fairness. So I'm going to reiterate, which is, by the way, a concern that I don't see mentioned in Chris's proposals here, a plan that I've been reminding everyone all along since we started this discussion, and I think it's going to come to a head now. I don't think it is fair to not take into account the additional expenses that some stations have. And they include rent, and they include the tower expenses. And again, as Alex pointed out, particularly they apply to WBAI and WPFW. In addition, there is an additional expense that applies to KPFK. And I would say that this is almost a separate issue because it's not really a KPFK expense. It's the PRA that's housed at KPFK, and KPFK pays for their air conditioning. And that air conditioning in Southern California to preserve the incredible library of tapes that we have has to be kept on all year round. And that, I think, Fred, we talked about that, is a $4,000 a month expense for KPFK. And I think it's fair to say that KPFK should get some consideration for that. I want to say another couple of things about the stations. Some of our stations, including KPFT, are cut to the bone. There is nowhere to cut. And WBAI a little bit less so, but is also in that situation. Back in, 2013, I think, they were cut. The staff was eliminated. We went on an austerity budget. I think it was nip and tuck as to whether we would survive on several occasions. But yet we did. And now we have KPFK falling off a cliff. And to be accurate, I think KPFK needs to make far greater cuts than they've made. I think that there has historically been overstaffing in Pacifica. And I think what we need is to develop sleek, modern radio stations that can be run with a more limited staff. At WBAI, while we've been in financial trouble for many years, mostly because of, well, we have declining audience, we've had that, but we also have had the rent and the tower problem, the rent for the office and the rent for the tower. And we've learned through experience after having our staff cut and on an austerity cut to use software, to use volunteers. And now the station is being running with two management employees and a group of dedicated technical people and the board ops who keep the place going with an incredible effort, but it works. So I think that even if we make the cuts at KPFK that are necessary to bring them into line with their budget, there will still be room at KPFK to cut more without cutting them to the bone the way that WBAI has been. And you know, we hear the concept of a family. Yes, we should have a family, and we should treat our sister stations as family. We should also consider the difference in expenses and the differences in income that are so prevalent between the stations right now. And so I would recommend, once we deal with some of these other motions, that we consider having an additional clause to consider some fixed expenses, not all, but some fixed expenses, specifically the tower rent and the office rent and studio rent in Washington and in New York, and something to help KPFT, and also to remove that $4,000 a month expense for PRA from KPFK's books. That's all I have for now, and now we go to Paulina.
Thank you. So I'm trying to wrap my head around what is bugging me so much about Chris's formula. I very much, on the one hand, I understand progressive taxation, but I don't think it's based on the kind of calculations that Chris is doing. I'm more inclined to start in this particular case, to go with standard percentage. Because here's the thing. So why is it that, according to Mr. Corey's calculation, right now, as of the initial period ending on September 30th, 2020, the percentages would be KPFA would pay 36.2% of what? Of their of their revenue, right? KPFK 28.5, KPFT 7.2, WBAI 13.7, WPFW 14.3. It seems to codify a kind of it's not unfair because somebody's paying more. I think it's unfair because it's kind of showing, I think, incorrectly, who is doing better. KPFK hasn't paid its central services in 8 months. Why would it be paying 28.5%? I mean, it makes absolutely no sense, given that KPFK has had to borrow from others to pay its payroll. So I don't know. I mean, to me, it makes little sense. The formula, what perhaps would make more sense is let's make it a revenue based formula, but at the same time deduct from the revenue based formula the overhead, right? Which I think is what I heard Jim Sagerton say. Something to that effect, it would make more sense, and then use the same percentage. So, of course, some stations will be liable for more, others for less, depending on their revenues minus whatever formula. I mean, you know, however we want to calculate the overhead. Of course, you can't deduct the overhead fully. I don't know. I just don't think that we're still swimming in a sea of uncertainties for that reason, and I just don't, I'm not comfortable with the idea that a station can then later say, well, look, we're paying more, therefore we're doing better. Thank you.